Coming up in this bulletin, up to 250 fish have died in a fish kill in Bridgend. Voting will get underway tomorrow morning in the European and local elections. Almost €5.2 million was paid out under the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Grant Scheme in Donegal last month. And the No Barriers Foundation in Donegal says it's looking forward to leading out a comprehensive physiotherapy and neurology service for children in Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news this evening, investigations are continuing into a fish kill in which up to 250 fish died in the Bridgend area. The pollution incident occurred on a tributary of the Skeg River, which flows into a special area of conservation and affected salmon, trout, eel and stickleback. The alarm was raised yesterday evening upon the discovery of a white milky substance and a number of young dead fish in the local stream. Donegal County Council's Chief Environmental Officer has gathered samples from the scene and Inland Fisheries Ireland has commenced an investigation. River Basin Director with the IFI, Milton Matthews, has confirmed a suspected source has been identified.
There was a fish kill report came in yesterday evening to ourselves and the Donegal County Council Environmental Section as regards a suspected fish kill upstream of Bridgend, which would be part of the Skeg River that flows into Inchlake and then ultimately into Lough Swilly, so in the northern part of the county. So there's an investigation, as you say. We're still at early stages with it, but our fisheries officers, staff, environmental officers are out on site this morning now just following up in terms of the investigation and can confirm that there has been a localised fish kill there in relation to juvenile salmon, eels, etc. In the Skeg River. So that investigation is ongoing at the moment. What I can say at the moment is we're following a different line of inquiry. We do believe we may have identified the source at the moment. Now, obviously, that will require water samples being taken, and those water samples will have to get analysed and results confirmed.
Voting will get underway tomorrow morning in the European and local elections. Voters will elect 14 MEPs and almost 1,000 councillors, while those in Limerick will be voting for a directly elected mayor for the first time. Polling stations open at 7 a.m. tomorrow and will stay open until 10 p.m. Many young people will be voting for the first time around. Art O'Leary from the Electoral Commission is urging Leaving Cert students to cast their vote.
Many of them will be voting for the first time if they vote. So stick your polling card in your pocket or in your rucksack on the way and nip in to your polling station on the way home to vote. At that point of the day, there is nothing you can do to change the results of Maths Paper 1 or Geography, but there is still one result you can change.
Well, Donegal County Council has launched a dedicated local election hub dashboard. Information of candidates and the location of polling stations is available on the site, which will also have a live tracker for election results. A link to the dashboard is available on our website at highlandradio.com. Almost €5.2 million was paid out under the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Grant Scheme in Donegal last month. The council says it fully recognises the timely processing of VALM payments, that it is a key element of the scheme to ensure cash flow for affected homeowners. Katie Gillen has more.
To date, Donegal County Council has processed valid payment claims and issued payments to homeowners to the value of €31 million, with almost €5.2 million paid out under the Enhanced Grant Scheme in May. That includes the refund of competent building professionals or engineers report fees to 1,176 homeowners to the value of €6.1 million. Meanwhile, where homeowners have been refunded 90% of their CBP engineers report fees under the provisions of the original scheme, the Council's DCB grant office are currently processing the remaining 10% balance on receipt of a subsequent payment claim submitted by the homeowner. The local authority has also received guidance from the Department of Housing that grant-approved homeowners may require a grant payment at an earlier stage in the remediation works process and who may not yet have engaged a building contractor. A more flexible approach, meanwhile, to financially assist homeowners who have entered into a commitment with a supplier and/or landlord for ancillary costs has been introduced.
Gardaí investigating a complaint from a female public representative in the west of the country have made an arrest in the northwest. A man in his 20s was taken into custody earlier today for an alleged offence contrary to the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act, specifically legislation on stalking. He's being questioned at a Garda station in the northwestern region where he can be held for up to 24 hours. The No Barriers Foundation in Donegal says it's looking forward to leading out a comprehensive physiotherapy and neurology service for children in Donegal. Last night, Junior Disabilities Minister Anne Rabbit confirmed just over €3 million in funding for the project as she launched the €7.6 million Children's Disability Services Grant Fund at the No Barriers Letterkenny headquarters. The scheme includes €34,000 for the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorlar, €210,000 for Spree August Sport in Carndonagh, and €301,000 for Health Hub Professionals in Derry to support their cross-border outreach into Donegal. The children's service is being run by Andrea McFeely, who previously worked for the CDNT in Donegal. She says the focus now will be on developing a programme that works best for those who need it.
We're looking forward to sitting down with the HSE and looking at our aims, our objectives and how we can support and deliver to the families and to the children of Donegal.
€3 million announced by Minister Anne Rabbit last night. That's pretty much 40% of the entire national cake. She made it quite clear that she sees what No Barriers are doing as a national example that she believes is going to be followed elsewhere in the country and eventually replicated elsewhere in the country. But when it comes to this, you're really the leaders.
Yes, we are, Donal, and it's a very exciting time for us here at No Barriers. Again, I'm really passionate about paediatrics. I have been working in the area for 22 years and I was really honoured to get the opportunity to move to No Barriers and work with Johnny and his team there. Really, at No Barriers, we break down barriers in society and communities. We fundamentally put the person at the centre of our service and our service delivery. We're really looking forward to working closely together with allied health professionals, with professionals and community services and professionals within the fitness industry to bring together new and exciting programmes in conjunction with the HSE. We're really excited about listening and working together with the families in Donegal. Today is about the children of Donegal. It's about the families. It's really about putting them at the centre stage now and working together to create and design and deliver a programme that works for them. We look at movement, exercise, activity, functional skills, movement and how that can improve and support not just your physical health, but your mental health. And why is that a lifesaver? Well, it's a lifesaver because it leads to lifelong, good, healthy habits that help you to be the best person you can be in your life.
The father and daughter who killed Limerick man Jason Corbett in North Carolina in 2015 have been released from prison. Tom and Molly Martins, who was married to Jason, served 4 years and 3 months following a plea agreement. Andrew Lyth reports.
40-year-old Molly Martins was released from North Carolina Correctional Institution in Raleigh at about 20 to 2 Irish time. Her father, 73-year-old Tom Martins, left the Caldwell Correctional Centre in Lenoir about 3 hours from Raleigh just under 2 hours later. Both admitted manslaughter of Jason Corbett in a plea agreement last year after their initial conviction for second-degree murder was quashed. Jason Corbett's family say they're very disappointed the pair have been released, accusing them of spinning a web of lies and for using Jason's 2 children from a previous marriage in a self-serving attempt to evade accountability. They vowed to tirelessly uphold his honourable legacy and seek justice to preserve his memory.
The North Sea Economy Minister has reaffirmed his intention to expand Ulster University in Derry. At the Stormont Assembly this week, Foyle MLA Padraig De Largey expressed concern to Minister Conor Murphy about the potential impact of a cap on recruitment. However, Minister Murphy confirmed his intention is to honour previous commitments from the executive parties regarding McGee.
The executive parties made a commitment back under a new decade, new approach to get the numbers in McGee up to 10,000, and that is the plan that I intend to operate to. We have discussed with the universities themselves and discussed in very recent times with officials just since I've come back about ways that we can work to ensure that those numbers increase, and that is clearly going to be a focus. It's an executive commitment. It's my responsibility to deliver on it, and that's what I intend to do.
Gardaí are renewing their appeal for help in locating a teenage girl missing for over a week. 15-year-old Jennifer, better known as Jade Halligan, has been missing from her home in Ballyconnell, County Cavan, since Sunday the 26th of May. She was last seen on Main Street in Cavan Town at around 1:15 that afternoon. Jade is described as 5 foot in height, of a slim build, with blue eyes and blue-green hair. Anyone with information on her whereabouts is asked to contact Gardaí. People in the Northwest are more likely to use cash over card to reduce the risk of fraud. Meanwhile, according to new figures from Reflecting Ireland, people in the Northwest find it harder to keep track of their spending when using Tap to Pay. Ellen Butler has more.
Over 7 in 10 in the Northwest say it's harder to keep track of spending when using Tap to Pay, according to the latest Reflecting Ireland research from PTSB. This is more than any other region in Ireland. In total, 73% of Northwesterners find it harder to keep track of spending when tapping. This compares to 70% of people in Munster, 61% in Dublin and 59% in Leinster. Those in Connacht and Ulster are also more likely to use cash over card to reduce the risk of fraud and scams compared to the rest of the country. The bank's quarterly research of consumer behaviour and attitudes also reveals that 72% of people are concerned that the increased use of AI could lead to more sophisticated fraud, with just 24% comfortable with the idea of AI-generated financial advice.
Police in the north are investigating two deaths in the same area of Newry. A man and a woman, both in their 20s, were found in Sandy Street on Sunday and Wednesday respectively. Officers say they're trying to work out how they both died and postmortems are being carried out. A specialist stakeholder group is preparing a list of recommendations for laws around dangerous dogs. The group is analysing a number of possibilities, including the banning of certain breeds, which could come into effect by this autumn. It follows the death of Nicole Morey in County Limerick on Tuesday night as a result of an XL bully attack. Maureen Byrne, a certified clinical animal behaviourist, says we need more data on these breeds and their behaviours.
The background behind all good legislation is knowledge, and we don't have that at the moment. And people like me are not consulted when it comes to dog attacks, because we could get some very valuable information about the dogs and about their, where they came from, who bred them, what their genetics are. All of that sort of thing would help us to understand why this sort of thing is happening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're going to start with soccer, and the much-anticipated second-round draw of the FAI Senior Cup took place early this afternoon. FAI Junior Cup champions Coghill Celtic have been handed a tough away tie at two-time Senior Cup winners Waterford. Finn Harps have also been drawn away from home as they will travel to play First Division leaders Cork City, while Derry City have a home tie against current holders St Patrick's Athletic. Cup winner with the Saints, Anto Breslin, is hoping for a repeat of their second-round success away to City last year.
Yeah, I suppose you probably just wanted a home draw. Listen, we went up there last year, we won. We went up there this year and we played well. We didn't probably get the result, but we played well up there. So, no, listen, we'll go into it well-prepared as we usually do, and we're looking to get the win and kick off hopefully a good cup run.
That tie will, of course, see former Derry boss Stephen Kenny make a return to the Brandywell. Other notable draws include the Dublin Derby meeting of Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers and a Louth Derby between Drogheda and Dundalk. Today's draw was made by Finn Harps legend Jim Sheridan in honour of the 50th anniversary of Harps' FAI Senior Cup triumph back in 1974. At the event, Jim said he was proud to be representing Finn Harps and the Northwest. All of those last 32 ties are due to be played on the week ending Sunday the 21st of July, and you can see the full draw in the sports section of our website at highlandradio.com. Premier League clubs have voted by 19-1 in favour of keeping VAR next season. Wolves, who put the motion forward, were the only team wanting to scrap it, but there will be a number of changes made to how it's used in the future, including the introduction of semi-automated offsides. Former England forward Jermaine Defoe has given his reaction to the results of the vote.
You know, you can understand why it was introduced to the game, because you get the correct decisions. When it's done quick, then it's okay. But it's times where, you know, it takes so long, and you sort of that players are waiting around, and you know you're half celebrating. You know, so it's quite interesting that more has voted for it to stay back in.
Jack Grealish and Harry Maguire have reportedly been left out of the England squad for Euro 2024. The pair joined Tottenham's James Maddison and Liverpool's Curtis Jones in missing out. Grealish has had a disappointing season for Manchester City, having scored just 3 goals in 36 appearances, while Maguire hasn't played for Manchester United since April because of a calf injury. Goalkeeper James Trafford and defender Jarrell Kwanzaa are expected to be the other players who don't make the final group. In tennis, the second of today's women's semi-finals is taking place at the French Open. Italy's Jasmine Paolina and Russian teenager Mira Andreeva are contesting the first set of their last four encounter, while earlier defending champion Iga Świątek of Poland beat American Coco Gauff in straight sets. In golf, Shane Lowry is 1 under par through 11 holes of his first round at the Memorial Tournament on the PGA Tour. That leaves him in a tie for 6th and just 2 shots off the lead. Waterford man Seamus Power starts his first round inside the hour at 5:45, while Rory McIlroy will be out at 20 past 6. Ireland's Lauren Walsh shot an impressive 67 for 5 under par on day 1 of the Scandinavian Mixed in Sweden. She is tied for 3rd and just 2 strokes behind South African Dylan Fratelli, who leads on 7 under. In Formula 1, new rules being introduced into Formula 1 from 2026 will see smaller, nimbler and more environmentally friendly cars. Engines will use fully sustainable fuels and will be a 50-50 split between electric and internal combustion power. Cars will have front and rear wings that open on the straights to reduce drag, and overtaking will be facilitated by a power boost system. And finally, on the Score programme this evening, Joe Boyle previews the League of Ireland games for Finn Harps and Derry City. Donegal Senior Ladies manager John McNulty joins us to look ahead to the All-Ireland series, and we speak with the latest jockey from the county who is making waves on the horse racing scene, Brandon Wilkie. That's all on the Score this evening between the 7 and 8 o'clock. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. Weather night showers will become isolated later this evening, with plenty of dry and sunny weather expected. Largely dry tonight with clear spells and lowest temperatures of 4 to 8 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: investigations are continuing into a fish kill in which up to 250 fish died in the Bridgend area. The pollution incident occurred on a tributary of the Skeg River, which flows into a special area of conservation. Voting will get underway tomorrow morning in the European and local elections. Voters will elect 14 MEPs and almost 1,000 councillors. Almost €5.2 million was paid out under the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Grant Scheme in Donegal last month. The council says it fully recognises that the timely processing of valid payment claims is a key element of the scheme to ensure cash flow for affected homeowners. And Gardaí investigating a complaint from a female public representative in the west of the country have made an arrest in the northwest. A man in his 20s was taken into custody earlier today for an alleged offence contrary to the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act, specifically legislation on stalking. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. Good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking with the chair of the IFA's Farm Business Committee about the latest guidance from the Revenue Commissioners on VAT refunds for farmers. But first, the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine is advising farmers of two important opportunities regarding corrections to their 2024 Basic Income Support for Sustainability, otherwise known as BIS, and the other area-based schemes. Well, the first of these are preliminary checks, which will identify any overclaims, overlaps or dual claims. Where a farmer or advisor receives a preliminary check notification, they should log on to agfood.ie and respond before the deadline of the 21st of June. Secondly, notifications relating to the area monitoring system are due to begin from the 6th of June, so that's from today, and that'll just be for a small number of farmers, and farmers will have until the 20th of June to respond to these notifications. Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue has announced the commencement of the 15% balancing payments to all eligible farmers under year one of the Sheep Improvement Scheme. The rollout of these balancing payments brings the total amount paid to over 17,000 farmers nationally under the scheme to more than €21 million. Minister McConnellogue is urging any Donegal farmers with outstanding queries to respond to the department's sheep section immediately to facilitate payment. And he also confirmed that the department will continue to issue payments on an ongoing basis as the outstanding queries are resolved. The IFA Farm Business Chair Bill O'Keefe has described the latest guidance from the Revenue Commissioners on VAT refunds as being very disappointing. Farmers had previously qualified for a range of items, but this is no longer the case. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking to him to get an update. Many thanks for joining us, Bill. So perhaps can you start by giving us a little bit of background and just explain what the current situation is?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, well, look, at the revenue's interpretation of what was eligible under VAT 58, and something changed maybe last July, August. We're told the legislation didn't change, but maybe the interpretation of the legislation changed. And we had a lot of farmers around the country coming to us with complaints that they were being refused VAT 58 refunds on items that would have been refunded in previous years. And in some cases, look, neighbouring farmers put in maybe automatic calf feeders the same day. One farmer put in the invoice straight away and got paid. Another farmer put in the invoice a couple of months later and got refused. So something changed at that time in terms of the interpretation. And we've had a big issue trying to get it resolved and trying to get a guidance note from Revenue, which we have got now this week, as to what is eligible and what isn't eligible, which I suppose is as important as what is.
And am I right in saying you recently had a meeting in which you, I suppose we could say, you displayed a number of products and you were trying to establish what would be acceptable and what wouldn't for the rebate?
Yes, we would have had a meeting on Brian Rush's farm in Kildare a couple of weeks ago. And I suppose it was to make the case, like, some of these things are complicated enough. The Revenue has a lot of expertise in the agricultural area, but just actually show them a calf feeder inside in a calf shed, show them cluster removers in a milking parlour, show them slat mats and cubicle mats in situ, and feed bins as well, just so that they can see the different items in place, see the actual scale of a 5-ton versus a 10-ton meal bin, and try to help them make a decision on what is eligible and what isn't eligible. So we had that meeting there a couple of weeks ago, and they've come out this week with the notice to what is eligible and what isn't. And I suppose we're welcome what is eligible for the refund, which was all there before. And look, a bit disappointed that adding on to a milking parlour, maybe if a farmer built a milking parlour with room for 20 units and put in 16, we thought we might get it included as when he added the other 4 units on later on, that was part of the infrastructure, but they've left that out, and they've left out calf feeders, calving cameras, and a few items like that. Like, we'd accept it. Cow collars are out as well. That's fine. The heat detection systems, they're a movable item anyway. We wouldn't have been particularly strong looking for those to be in. But there's a few items we're very disappointed about, calf feeders in particular, because there's a lot of those automatic calf feeders going in now on dry stock farms, where farmers want to rear dairy beef calves, very sustainable way of producing beef, and disappointed that those are out.
And do you think there'll be quite a few people who maybe sort of caught out by this and would have been expecting to get something back, and now they're not going to?
Yeah, there is, Chris. That's the big issue. Is that, like, when things are clear and there's a communication out beforehand, people can change things and people can get their ducks in a row. But we had people with significant spends, maybe €20,000 on calf feeders, expecting to get back €3,000 or €4,000 on VAT. And when they sent in the forms, the money wasn't forthcoming. And it was difficult enough to get your cash flow right with banks and everything else on farms. So it has created an issue on a lot of farms. There's bigger numbers than that in some cases, with milk tanks being refused and different items being refused. We have a bit of clarity around that now. But yeah, it's just when something changes without any communication, that's where the issue is, you know.
And if somebody does want to find out, you know, what exactly
is eligible and what's not. Can you find out on the department's web or the Revenue Commissioner's website?
Yeah, we have information out now. We're communicating it out to members at the moment, and it will be available to all accountants and all suppliers of equipment as well. So people will know from this week on what is eligible at the moment and what isn't. Look, it will continue to work on the items that aren't eligible, but legislation, we won't be changing legislation. It's just the way the legislation is interpreted as to what is infrastructure, what is hard infrastructure, what isn't. In our opinion, when you build a calf shed, the calf feeder, the automatic calf feeder that you put into that shed and all the ancillary works, and that makes a part of the structure. And I suppose it's just the interpretation of that is where we're coming up against a brick wall in some cases. Similar to a milking machine, when you're winning a new milking machine, it is eligible when you want to add a few units to it afterwards. They're saying it isn't eligible. So look, the IFA continue to work hard on that, and we continue to meet with revenue on that. But for the moment, we have our guidance know-how, and people will have access to that, and their accountants, more importantly, will have access to that as well.
And just in terms of the VAT refunds for farmers, is the process relatively simple once you know what exactly you're doing?
It is, yeah. You have the VAT 58 form. You submit invoices with it. In some cases, people will be asked to submit digital photos with that, and that facility is there since 2019. And if people have those photos at the time of application, they might submit them with the original application rather than waiting for revenue to look for them afterwards. It speeds up the thing. Look, you'd like everything to move a lot faster, Chris, same as everything. There can be delays, and if things are being checked, it can lead to a four-week delay in the refund being paid out. But most of the time, a decision is made reasonably quickly and the refunds are given reasonably quickly, or a refusal, which is what we've been seeing a lot lately, is given reasonably quickly. It's just when the refusal comes in, when you're not expecting it, yeah, that's where the issue has been for the last while. So look, we'll get the communication out to people now as to what is and isn't eligible, and hopefully that will help people plan their spend over the next few years.
And that was Bill O'Keefe, the IFA Farm Business Chair. In other news this week, Donegal farmers are being reminded that the closing date for late applications to the National Sheep Welfare Scheme is June the 15th. There's been a huge uptake already, and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has confirmed that more than 17,000 farmers had applied by the original deadline of the 21st of May. Participants in the scheme are required to complete two actions to receive the full payment of up to €8 per ewe. Speaking at the launch of the Better Farming for Water campaign by Teagasc, IFA President Francie Gorman said farmers do want to improve water quality and they will embrace the eight actions for change set out in the campaign. And he added that it's important that Teagasc are given the resources to properly implement the campaign. And finally, a new farmers market is being set up in the south of the county. The Rosnaula Farmers Market will be up and running on Friday week, June the 14th, and will be held in the council car park. The response to date has been very encouraging. A group of local farmers have come together with friends of Rosnaula Community Group to set the ball rolling, and they're looking for local producers to come along and sell their produce. More details are on the Rosnaula Farmers Market Facebook page, and we'll be following this up in next week's programme. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, June 6th. The death has taken place of John Moody, Kiltoll Convoy. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church Convoy, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the old graveyard. House private to family and close friends only, please. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Rosary each night at 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Patricia McLaughlin, 9 Ballycolman Avenue, Strabane, and formerly of Ulster Cottages, Glebe, Sion Mills, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Margaret O'Hagan, née McGrinder, 46 Main Street, Plumbridge, and formerly Legford Room. Margaret's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:25 a.m. going to the Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to Air Ambulance NI, care of McGuigan Funeral Directors, OMA. The death has taken place of Charlie Doherty, Carnegore, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St. John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Charlie Deeney, Inishkill, Rathmullen, reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St. Catherine's Church, Ochterlin. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. tonight. The death has taken place of Nellie Stevens, Crossroads, Sleeve Bon, Malinhead. Nellie's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:40 a.m. going to the Star of the Sea Church, Malinhead, for Requiem Mass at 12 p.m. followed by burial in Lag Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.